The meeting is called to order. I understand that the Secretary General has arrived in the building. The Executive Director has gone upstairs to meet him. Shortly with the Vice Chairman, I shall leave the room to greet the Secretary General at the lift, and I shall then introduce him to the meeting. I would ask delegates please to remain seated meanwhile in their places. It is a rare privilege for me today to welcome to this meeting of the Intergovernmental Committee of the World Food Programme His Excellency U Thant, Secretary General of the United Nations. The occasion is a unique one indeed in the life of the IGC, when the executive heads of its two parent bodies sit side by side on the dais. We regret, Mr. Secretary General, that you will not be able to remain longer with us to participate in the discussion upon which we are scheduled to embark later this morning, which is, in effect, a discussion on the growing upsurge of demand on the World Food Programme's resources and the shape of its future. Brief though it will be, however, I am sure I speak for my colleagues on the committee in seeing your visit as symbolic in two important aspects. It follows on the recognition given by the General Assembly of what Resolution 2462, adopted at the 23rd session, terms the special competence and experience of the World Food Programme as the food aid arm of the United Nations family. It speaks to us also of what is widely regarded as the need for increasingly close cooperation and coordination between the World Food Programme and the appropriate United Nations agencies and operating programmes, a need which is likely to become more pressing as projects on a scale scarcely contemplated even a short time ago are brought forward for scrutiny. It may be that in coming to grips with these new demands, and in fulfilling its role within the context of the overall developmental efforts being made by the United Nations system, the programme will need to be prepared to consider modifications in its policies and procedures. Should that be the case, I am sure that both the IGC itself and the programme secretariat, for it is essentially a work undertaken in common, will be found ready to display both pragmatism and openness of mind. For these are the essential qualities, with a good deal of hard work too at headquarters and in the field, which had enabled total commitments between the inception of the programme at the end of between the inception of the programme and the end of 1968, to be brought to a level of $455 million, and had enabled some 4.5 million beneficiaries to benefit from projects in operation at that time. We stand now before important decisions, and I am sure I speak for all members of the committee in saying that we shall hear with the deepest interest the remarks which you will make, as I now invite you to take the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time I have been able to attend the Intergovernmental Committee and to express to its members in person my best wishes for the success of your deliberations. May I say how much I appreciate this privilege and how pleased I am to be here in company with my colleague, Mr. Burma, Director General of FAO. I should like at the same time to congratulate you, Mr. Chairman, and the two vice chairmen on your election. I attach great importance to the activities of the World Food Program and am gratified by the overall results which it has achieved. The program exists today not as the temporary product of a set of changing circumstances, but as an established instrument of proven effectiveness and flexibility. The possibility of using food aid as a form of capital in development has now been clearly demonstrated. So has the role which the program can play in the case of emergencies, not only in the immediate task of bringing food supplies to the victims, but also in the task of rehabilitation and reconstruction. It is not an exaggeration to say that the program has added a new dimension to the United Nations potential in the field of development. Such gratifying results owe much to the consistency of purpose and resourcefulness of your committee. They are also due in no small measure to Mr. Burma, who provided such able leadership during the first 6 years of this program, and to Mr. Aquino, his distinguished successor. The program was established to help meet what is, to my mind, the greatest challenge of this century, the challenge of the grinding poverty that is still the lot of almost two-thirds of our fellow men. It was established as a joint enterprise of the United Nations and the FAO, as you all know, because the combined resources of the two organizations were so clearly needed if the experiment of food aid on a multilateral basis for this great purpose were to be successful. FAO would supply its rich experience in regard to food supplies and needs, while the United Nations would provide expertise in overall development planning and in such areas as industrial development and social welfare. Other agencies would likewise contribute in their specialized fields. The way this cooperation has developed has been a source of great satisfaction to me. I wonder, however, now that we are approaching the second decade of development, whether we should not try to extend our cooperation somewhat. The United Nations system has to help the governments of the world to plan a global strategy of development, and in the execution of this strategy, the World Food Program will have an important role to play. Still closer links may well be required between its work and that of the other United Nations bodies with responsibilities for economic and social development. If the program is to play its full part in the coming decade, there is no doubt in my mind that it also requires substantially larger resources. I fully support the proposal for a higher target put forward yesterday by the Executive Director. The decisions in this matter will, of course, rest with governments alone. But what we ourselves can do is to demonstrate that our organizations are capable of administering programs of considerably greater magnitude. While it is generally recognized that the United Nations organizations are making good use of their resources, the question has been raised whether we are making maximum use of them. We must be able to show that the various activities carried out by different bodies in the UN system support and reinforce each other and are well adapted to the general economic and social context of each country concerned. I know that these preoccupations are yours as well as mine, and I shall not prolong my remarks as you are certainly eager to proceed with the specific tasks you have to carry out in the short time available. I should just like to say how much I would welcome a decision to hold a session of this committee at some convenient time at one of the offices of the United Nations, and in conclusion, to express my confidence in a great future for the program, which will bring new credit to the UN system as a whole by increasing its contribution to the welfare of mankind. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank the Secretary General for his remarks, and I now give the floor to Dr. Bulmer, Director General of FAO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Secretary General, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is a very great pleasure for me to be back once again at a session of the Intergovernmental Committee, with which I have had such happy associations in the past. I should like to begin by congratulating you, sir, and your two vice chairmen on your election, and by welcoming the whole committee and the observers present to Rome, and particularly the two distinguished ministers who are with us today, His Excellency Dr. Ordóñez Plaja, the Minister of Health of Colombia, and His Excellency Mr. Syed Maray, the Minister of Agriculture and Land Reform of the United Arab Republic. And, Mr. Chairman, since this is the first occasion that I have had to appear before this committee in the company of my successor, I should like to say a word not only of formal welcome to Mr. Aquino, but also appreciation of what he has so far done in his challenging new task as Executive Director. I need hardly say, Mr. Chairman, how much pleasure it also gives me that the Secretary General of the United Nations should be with us today. I'm sure that I'm speaking on behalf of the entire committee when I say how much we have appreciated the wisdom of his words to us this morning. It is particularly appropriate that the Secretary General should be present at a session of this committee, which is exceptionally important for a number of reasons. Not least of these is the fact that it will be making concrete plans for the program's prospects and activities in the second development decade, which now opens up before us. The relatively short but, I believe, successful history of the World Food Program shows that the developing countries, as they have become increasingly aware of the results that can be achieved through multilateral food aid, have grown more and more to appreciate its value as a means of stimulating their economic and social development. While all of us within the United Nations system are, of course, working towards the day when they will have reached the level of development which makes the present pattern of aid unnecessary, it is clear that food aid will have to continue for a long time to come. The greatest problem in the world today is without question the stark, degrading poverty of many millions of individual human beings. And the tragically ironic fact is that in a world crying out for creative effort, that poverty exists largely because vast numbers of the people who suffer from it have not enough work or no work at all. Food aid offers special hope to these legions of the unemployed, since it is particularly suitable for projects which are labor-intensive, notably projects for agricultural development. This is of inestimable importance to the developing countries, since in nearly all of them, agriculture is by far the largest part of the economy. There are also other kinds of food aid projects which are extremely important in the context of poverty. Perhaps the most outstanding are the special feeding projects for the vulnerable groups of society, especially school children. Along with the emphasis which it places on these kinds of projects, one of the most encouraging signs in the progress of the World Food Programme is that recently it has begun to engage in much larger projects than was the case in past years. I have long taken the view that the programme needs to be able to undertake a number of large projects, and good projects, of course, if it is to make a really effective impact on economic and social development, and thus on the plight of the impoverished masses. Nobody, I think, can fail to welcome the programme's present growth. It is for this reason that I regard the pledging target of $400 million put forward by the executive director for the years 1971 and 72 as both realistic and necessary. I very much hope that this committee will be able to recommend this figure to the Economic and Social Council and to the FAO Council for their approval. There are several other important issues before the session of this committee, and I would like to touch on just one, which arises out of the far-sighted resolution on multilateral food aid adopted by the United Nations General Assembly on the 20th of December last. This is the question of including forms of aid in kind, other than food, in the resources of the programme. I should merely like to restate the view that I have expressed on several occasions that the World Food Programme, with its considerable experience of handling aid in kind, is a natural channel for the distribution of food production resources, such as fertilizers, pesticides, and farm machinery, on a multilateral basis. The need for such resources in the developing countries is increasing all the time, especially now that those countries are faced with the immense promise of the new high-yielding varieties of cereals crops, a technological triumph which we in FAO regard as outstanding and which we are working actively to promote as widely as possible. Mr. Chairman, the second development decade is now not far ahead. With the gap between the rich and the poor nations still relentlessly widening, the developing countries of the world urgently need massive injections of aid, including food aid. For if the gap continues to widen, if the prospects for closing it still fail to appear, the long-term consequences will be disastrous by the most calm and sobered standards of evaluation. It is to meeting this challenge of the second development decade that the United Nations family of organizations have, under the leadership of the Secretary General, pledged themselves. The World Food Programme, a joint venture of the United Nations and FAO, is going to be essential to this endeavor. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank the Director General of FAO for his remarks. I'm sure that members of the committee at this point would have welcomed the opportunity to engage in an exchange with the Secretary General on the various matters which he has raised in his statement, but unfortunately his tight schedule this morning does not make that possible. It remains for me, therefore, to thank the Secretary General most sincerely on behalf of the committee for having honoured us with his presence this morning. We shall certainly reflect on what he has said in the days of the session which lie ahead. We should like him to know that the United Nations family as a whole may count on the continued cooperation and support of the World Food Programme and of this committee in the continuing struggle to lay those foundations for a just, peaceful, and self-reliant world society in which it is engaged. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
I said that I would announce this morning a list of possible members of the drafting group for the committee's consideration. I would propose, therefore, and to introduce the item, I now give the floor to the Executive Director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 1968, the program experienced a sharp increase in activities to assist economic and social development projects, as I already pointed out in my introductory remarks yesterday. While in 1967, we had committed resources of the level of about $86 million, in 1968, commitments went up to $203 million. In the report that I have presented to you as annual statement of the Executive Director, for the analysis of past activities, we have broken down WFP projects into three broad groups. That is, projects for the development of human resources, projects intended to improve the economic and social infrastructure of the recipient countries, and projects of a directly productive type. This subdivision has been made according to whether the impact of the WFP projects on the economic growth of the recipient countries is felt in the long, medium, or short term. I think that this type of breakdown may be useful in future to evaluate the activities of the program and to decide on the direction of its continuation. With regard to projects for the development of human resources, the analysis shows that they are generally easier to formulate and to put into operation than projects in other groups, particularly where food aid is provided to existing institutions. This is one of the reasons for the recent increase in the number and size of requests for aid to projects of this type. It should be recognized, however, that even in this category, when projects are on a nationwide scale, the logistic requirements become complex and call for considerable counterpart contributions from the governments. As to the particular projects in this group, experience indicates that the type most difficult to implement is that involving the feeding of expectant and nursing mothers and preschool children, since there is a need in most cases of a number of ancillary facilities which are not easy to establish except in those countries that have a more adequate infrastructure. Other resources for the expansion of human development projects include the increasing consciousness of governments in emergent countries of educational problems and the resulting high priority given to education and training in development plans, as well as the specific action taken by the program early in 1968 to promote such projects in order to utilize pledges of additional resources of protein-rich food. With regard to the projects in the field of economic and social infrastructure, experience in their formulation and operation varies widely, not only from region to region, but from country to country, and frequently between project authorities in the same country. In general, it appears that projects for transportation, communication, and power are relatively easy to formulate and get underway, as they usually occupy a high priority position in government development plans. In addition, the relevant government departments normally have competent technical personnel, which is a good asset during implementation, even though sometimes a certain unwillingness to deal with food distribution problems has first to be overcome. On the other hand, in projects for community development, which need considerable organizational support, frequently not available as required, the authorities involved welcome the possibility of receiving food aid. The experience in our projects for forestry and watershed management has varied. Projects undertaken on government land are relatively easier to implement than when farmers have to undertake works on their own land. In this sense, an important problem arises when tracts of land that are going to be developed for forestry purposes are rather large and labor has to be utilized. Turning to projects of a directly productive type, difficulties of formulation and operation are often encountered, inter alia, because of uncertainties in budgetary planning by local authorities. Land settlement and colonization projects have proved the most difficult for a number of reasons. Existing agrarian structures, procedures for selection of settlers, provision of required infrastructure and institutional support, and the like, pose problems not easy to solve. Refugee settlement projects, though involving many of these difficulties, are relatively easier to formulate and implement because of the substantial assistance frequently given by such bodies as the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and various voluntary agencies. Projects for land development and improvement are also not difficult to formulate, particularly when involving simple labor-intensive activities by unskilled or semi-skilled workers to whom food assistance is acceptable. Yesterday, in my introductory remarks, I made mention of the impact of WFP-assisted projects in the different countries, and figures were presented to you on the number of people that have benefited from World Food Programme. But, Mr. Chairman, I think that the most important issue that is before us with regard to this annual statement is the question of targets. As I explained yesterday, during the current pledging period, the program is assured of resources of about $256 million, of which about $93 million represent undrawn pledges and cash on hand as of 1 January 1969. $135 million represent pledges for this period, and almost $31 million in grain and cash from the Food Aid Convention, and about $4 million will come from miscellaneous income. Against this, there will be a partial offset of about $6 million in pledges that will lapse before the end of the period. Disbursements anticipated during the biennium include about $8 million for administration, $20 million for emergencies that have to be assigned according to our regulations to the Director General of FAO, and $149 million against projects approved before the end of 1968, or a partial total of about $177 million. In addition, if our rate of commitment remains at the present level and $300 million are committed to new projects during each of the 2 years, about $57 million will be disbursed against such projects during the biennium, bringing total disbursements for the period to $234 million, suggesting a carryover of only about $22 million at the end of 1970. As I have explained to you, there is no doubt in my mind that a commitment rate of $300 million per year to new projects through 1972 would be fully justified by the prospective volume of sound project proposals. If this rate is maintained, total disbursements during the years 71 and 72 will amount to $422 million. This means that $400 million in new resources will have to be found before the end of 1970. Now, as I have explained to some of you, these figures are the result of our calculations taking into account not only the projects for which we are already committed, but also projects which are in the pipeline and which can be considered as very well justified. My impression, Mr. Chairman, is that this committee should consider very carefully the figure proposed by the Executive Director and make a recommendation of a target for $400 million to the Economic and Social Council and to the Council of FAO. Of course, as the Secretary General said this morning, the decision rests entirely with the government. But my impression, Mr. Chairman, is that we really have a good case for an increase of this program, which I think has many advantages in helping solve the problems of the developing nations. One point that Mr. Bulma raised this morning, which I consider of overriding importance, is the fact that a program of this sort really helps in dealing with one of the most pressing problems in the developing world. That's the problem of unemployment and underemployment. To me, it also has a very salutary effect in the internal organization of the countries, because it forces the administration to handle the cumbersome assistance that is provided through food, and this means that the infrastructure, the social infrastructure, is reinforced by the action of self-help of the government of the recipient countries. Mr. Chairman, I shouldn't like to take any more time. I think the issue before us is very clear, and that I would like the committee to address itself to the problem of the report on last year's activities and the future outlook for resources of the program. Thank you, sir.